Blog Talk Radio.
So here. First day that the Gentiles call Sunday is where we begin the count of the Shavuah, the count of the week, the count of the strong. So here we're at the first day. Ethiopically, we say the Melkam, beautifully good, Ehud from Ahad, like we say Ahadu Amlak, we say Adonai, Ahad, Yahuwah, Ahad, Hashem, Ahad, He who be, who He be, the one Jehovah, the one here, Israel. So here we have the first day, and here we begin the count of the seventh, of the seven Shabbats that according to HaTorah here, the reason for the season, commanded to count seven Shabbats complete. So we come to the seventh. Right, so the seventh coming up at the fulfillment here of this Shabuah, the word in Hebrew for the week, Shabuah from Shabbat, the word for seven. So the 7 days coming forward here will be the seventh, right, of the seven Shabbats with the count complete here to the harvest time, the harvest season. And on the morrow, which is the next day after the seventh Shabbat. Now, others, you know, count differently, and we agree with the Israelites of Ethiopia, the true church and the professing church, that begins from that first day, even that first day resurrection of HaMashiach, of Yeshua HaNotri. So right here, let's ride up right here, look a word right here at the top of the podcast right here for the first day service, the Sunday service right here. We still have the Haftarah, right, the prophet's reading from Hosea chapter 2, and also from the epistle to the Romans chapter 9. But here as on the first day, we have a psalm, a chant, praise, right, praise and Isis, and it is Psalm 24, the appointed psalm for the first day. Yes, I, Rastafari here, Luciano and Muta Baruka with Psalm 24.
This is Psalm 24 without apology. Muta Baruka and Luciano, trust me.
Yes, it's the Lord and the fullness thereof.
The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof.
Word and they that
and they that dwell therein. For he hath found it upon the sea,
he hath born and he done the sea,
and established it upon the flood. Who shall ascend in the hill of
Jah?
Or who shall stand in his holy place?
Who shall stand in the holy place?
He that hath clean hands,
he that hath
and a pure heart,
and pure
heart, who hath not lifted up
his
soul into vanity, blessing from Jaja and righteousness from the Almighty of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him.
This is the generation that seek him, the Most High God.
That seek thy face, O Jacob.
Seek thy face, O Jacob.
Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of Glory shall come in.
And the King of Glory shall come in.
Who is this King of Glory?
I say who?
Emperor Haile Eye, Selassie
Eye.
Shall come in.
And the King of Glory, yes, the King of Glory shall come in.
Who is this King of Glory? Emperor Haile
Selassie.
He is the King of Glory.
Who is the King of Glory?
Rastafari. He is the King of Glory. glory. King of glory.
Who is the King of glory?
Who is the King?
Who is the King of glory?
Who is the King?
Emperor Haile Selassie.
Emperor
of Ethiopia. King of kings. Lord of lords. Conquering lion in the tribe of Judah. He makes up and says, light of the world.
Beautiful, good Yom HaRishon, Yom, the day HaRishon, in the Hebrew, the first day, the head day, the first day here, here, first day service here, here, Sunday service, stay tuned, stay tuned. Going to fulfill here the 34th degree of our sabbatical study, so have the Haftarah, prophet's reading, and the Brit Chadasha. But come.
Stay tuned for the Haftarah and the Brit Chadasha, Aliyot. Aliyot, Aliyot, Aliyot.
So here, while ones and ones, no doubt, gathering in, you know. Lift up your heads, sleepy heads, yes, I, Javir, here. Yes, I, so here for the Rastafari, the first day, a.k.a. Sunday service, here for this Bar Midbar. So here on this first day, according to HaTorah, that the Gentiles call Sunday, we begin or continue, actually, with the seventh Shavua. So right here, where are we right here? You know, looking at the time and the season right here, we are actually 7 days before the fulfillment of the 49 days, right? So here at the 42nd to the 43rd, you know, on the count right here, and looking forward to the next first day, a.k.a. called by the Gentile Sunday. Now, we don't refer to the first day as Sunday in HaTorah. First day is simply the first day. But it's the first day, according to the count, both for the Bikurim corresponding with the first day resurrection of HaMoshiach Yeshua, resurrection of Yeshua HaNotri, by Elohim Ha'ah, by Eloheinu. But come, make a reason. Reason here, as we have begun a new book, Chazak, Anit, Chazek, be strong, be encouraged. May I encourage that each one teach one, well, each one encourage one and one. So here, come, make a reason. So we completed here the Torah portion of the reasonment. We still have the prophets, the reading and feeding, as well as a new covenant reading and feeding here for the Trinity of readings. Firstly, from HaTorah, here, Numbers chapter 1 to Numbers chapter 4, verse 20. Prophets reading, Hosea chapter 2, focus verses 1 to 23. And in the renewed covenant, the Brit Chadasha, we have the epistles of the Romans, chapter 9, focus verses 22 to 33. Now, we briefly address one of the thoughts here, the reasonments here for the Shavua concerning the theme of the Beit Av, or the house of the father, right? The fundamental core foundation, Hebraically, of family, right here in the beginning of this fourth book of Moshe. Now, there's the whole pedigree thing that some of the other Israelites, like the ISUPK, some of the other camps, right, they make a a big point, and there is something to the point. The point is, has validity. What we read in chapter one concerning the pedigree, right? Well, let's study to put it into proper context. So here, a couple of topics for discussion, for reasonment, for Ayinai Rastafari, the sabbatical reasonment. Discussion topic number one right here. The sages, the ancient scholars of Torah, ancient sages, they had noted that the idea of a census is what we have here, right? In the numbers, in the book of Numbers, right? A census, a count, a head count, or according to the scripts, the translation, KJV says poll count, or really more directly, gulgulot, right? A skull count. But basically what we have is a census. So the idea of a census seems to express two paradoxical truths. Two truths that are, paradoxically speaking, opposite one of the other. On the one hand, the census, it implies that each individual, indivisible, dual, each individual is significant. While, on the other hand, the census, it implies that each member of the community, of the common unity, from the greatest to the least, to the lowest, right, count for no more and no less than one. So these two paradoxical truths, right, that the idea of a census expresses, on one hand, implying that each individual, individually, I, all as one I, but I, each I individually, indivisible, dually, significant. While on the other hand, the implication is that each member of the common unity or the community, from the greatest to the least, counts. Each one, whether one is great or one is not so great, the highest or the lowest, the greatest or the less, each one counts. Each member of the community counts for no more, and for no less than one. So the theme here of unity and oneness, right? So make we reason on the balance. What is the balance? What's the fulcrum, like the balance? What's the balance between the value of the individual versus the value of the group? The value of the individual, what is the balance concerning the value or the evaluation, if you please, of the individual, of each of I individually, like each member, we look at the members of the body, each member looking at different members of one's body individually versus the group. Is it true that the sum is great, the sum is greater than the parts, or the sum is greater than the whole? How did that go again? You know, what do you talk about? Well, like all together is more so than the parts, individual parts. So this idea is a good idea to reason on here, especially in this 34th degree of our sabbatical study, of the balance between the value or the worth of the individual versus, or vis-a-vis, the value of the collective, of the community, of the group. Now, relate this to the metaphor. What's the metaphor? Members of one body. That's the metaphor there. Members of one body. She says we have many members in our body, but all together, it is one. The members of the body, Hawariya Paulos, the Apostle Paul, our brother Paul, Rav Shaul, he used this expression, this metaphor, members of the body, when he described the ideal hierarchy and community of the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So our point of reference here is 1 Corinthians the 12th. Take note, fellow Talmudim, fellow disciples, take note, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So we're looking at these two paradoxical truths, the individual being significant right, and the implication thereof. And each member of the community, from the least to the greatest, counts for no more and no less than one. So let's discuss the balance between the value or the worth of the individual vis-a-vis the value and the worth of the community, and also how the two, right, go together as one, based on the metaphor that Rav Shaul, or the Apostle Paul, the great apostle to the Gentiles, the Apostle Paul, members of one body. What was he describing? Was he describing an ideal order, a hierarchy, and the community of the church here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Next reasonment subject, next subject for reasonment. Why did Elohim, the power, count just the adult males of Israel? Why did Jehovah instruct Moshe with Aharon and Aaron to count just the adult males? Note that. Have you noted that? That the women are not counted. Don't have an accurate, exact number of the women or the wives or the mothers or just the woman in general, nor of the children. But only right here in the beginning of the book of Numbers do we have the adult males of Yisrael, called Zakar. Zakar is male, call all Zakar. Not the Nekeba, not the Nekeba, not the woman, not the females, but the Zakar. Didn't the woman and children count, some might ask? Or was the census that we have here primarily for the sake of military utility? So what's the context of this census, this count, this head count right here? The key phrase, as we pointed out, all that are able to go forth to war. So what about the women and children? Or was this census here primarily for the sake of military utility? And what about, another question here, what about that group? You know, the group that's not really Israel, but with Israel? By the mixed multitude, those Gentiles, those of other tribes, of other nations, who basically tagged along, right? Tagged along. Remember Rastafari, you say, like, you know, how they follow Rastafari tribe. Yes, them follow Rastafari tribe. Them follow Rastafari tribe. Them a follower. So there was those who followed, right, the Beta Israel tribe. They followed the Beta Israel tribe. And who was this? The mixed multitude. So what about the mixed multitude? Those other nations, Goyim, Gentiles, right, who had tagged along with Amo Yisrael during the Sa'at, the Exodus Mimitzrayim from Egypt, not only were members of this group, the so-called mixed multitude, not only were they ineligible, note this here, that members of the mixed multitude were ineligible to serve in the army. Now, the army is often pointed out as the host. Now, there's two kind of hosts. Remember, Levi, right, the tribe of Levi, Halloween, they're not counted. They're not counted in the number, right? They are outside of the number. They're not counting the number, but they are also called the host, right? So host, to bring across this terminology, host, like I said, is the Lord of hosts, Yahuwah Tzabaot. Some translate it as the Lord of hosts. Some say the Lord of armies, right? But it's a group of co-laborers, one co-laboring as a group for any purpose. The two purposes that are brought out here in HaTorah is one is military, the army, right? And the other is according to the sanctuary. So the Lewim, HaLewim, and the priests not being included in that count of the army. But regarding the mixed multitude, those Gentiles, those other nations who had tagged along, right? Some people say bandwagon rode, but they rode with us. They tagged along with Amor Yisrael during the Exodus from Mitzrayim. But members of this group were not only ineligible to serve in the army, but they were excluded. Did you pick that up in the reading? They were excluded from the camp, and therefore were clearly designated as, quote, outsiders. And even according to the true reading of the narrative, we can see where they were a burden on Amo Yisrael. They were a burden. Moreover, question, why were Halloween, the Levites, set apart as what could be described as a, quote, higher caste within this Hebrew and Israelite system? So we had three basic groups within called Yisrael. Firstly, foremostly, we had the priests, the Kohanim, right? And then they are surrounded by Halloween, the Levites. And then they are surrounded by the rank and file Israelites of the 12 tribes. So why were the Levites set apart as a higher caste, so to speak, in this system? And indeed, why were Aharon, Ubanayo, Banav, why was Aaron and his sons, his Banim, regarded as the highest caste of all? Do you find such, how they call this, stratification, right? Unfair? Somebody said that's unfair. Everybody's just equal, you know? Well, let's reason, right? Come, let us reason. Do you see that there was a need? Do you see a need for a hierarchical order for society? These are some of the reasoning questions as we grow in grace and maturity, right? And we study HaTorah. These are sort of questions that come up. And these questions have impact not just on us looking at way back when then, but also for us right now. So come, Mick I and I discuss. Come, Mick, we reason. Next topic for reasonment and discussion here from this 34th degree of I and I sabbatical study for Shabbat, Bar Midbar, Sabbath in the wilderness for Sendet, Ben Midre Bedah. On a macro level, like people say the big picture, on the macro level, HaTorah, John's direction, instruction, the law, it tells the story, the narrative of our pilgrimage on a macro, on a big level. The Torah is narrating and telling the story of I and I trod and pilgrimage to Har Sion, from Har Sinai, Mount Sinai, in the Old Covenant, to the Brit Chadasha, to Har Sion, the mountain of Yahweh, Yahweh, Jehovah, that will one day, according to the scripts, fill the whole earth, fill the whole land. Bereshith, which is the Hebrew for what's called Genesis, Bereshith describes, according to the writing of the scribe, our creation, the creation and fall. So looking at the first book, Genesis, Bereshith, we get a description of the creation, the iration creation, and that fall. Then in Exodus, the second book, known Hebraically as Shemot, Shemot means names, the names. It describes our bondage as well as deliverance. In the third book of Moshe, Hebrew book known as Leviticus, right, or the Sefer Vayikra, and he called, the calling. It describes the walk, the trod, the halakha, the walk of holiness, of kedusha, being set apart, and Numbers, right here, Bamidbar, it describes the tests and the refinement of our faith, of the living faith, of our credit, right, of our admittance. Now, the fifth book of Moshe, Debarim, right, we have Debarim, which means the words, and Debarim points to the Esaret HaDebarim, or the 10 words that is often called the 10 commandments, but in the scripture known as the commandment or the 10 words. In Deuteronomy is called in the scripts the Mishneh Torah, or we get the word Mishnah Mishneh Torah, which means like the second Torah or the repetition. Mishneh, the repetition of the directions, instruction. So Deuteronomos, even in the Koine Greek, has that same sense. And in the scripture itself, the Hebrew scripture in Deuteronomy, we have it said as the Mishneh HaTorah, which means the second Torah in one way of translating the Hebrew, but more correctly in the context, the repetition of the direction instruction. So we have the retelling as well as the review of the inner meaning of the first four books. Some people get confused about Deuteronomy. You know, they say, well, you know, because people, some funny people, they ask, oh, if Moses wrote the Torah, how did he write about his own death? Okay. There's a lot of people who wrote books, right? But when they passed, someone else had to complete the book. We know that Moshe delivered this to Halloween, and the Levites were in charge of this. They were in charge of the items of the holy, the Levites and HaKohani. So that question right there is just a foo-foo question. But to put Deuteronomy in its proper context, looking at it from the Hebrew and the Torah studies, we get to find both the Mishneh or the Mishnah. You might hear the Mishnah. Some would say, oh, that's white Jewish stuff. Nah, stop that, brothers and sisters, but mainly your brothers. Stop that. Let's study. Come. Make I and I study. We need to find a way among the different camps of Hebrew and Israelites, you know, even though we know we disagree on various things. But those of us who have a common denominator, therefore potentially a common will to reason on some of these areas, we should not just let our reasoning, you know, be like debating on different ones' platform and never having any reasoning among I and I self. That is opposite of the Torah direction instruction. But Deuteronomy is the Mishneh Torah, according to Deuteronomy and the Hebrew. It's the repetition of the direction instruction, the retelling, the review of the inner meaning of the first four books. So let's discuss, come, make a reason on some of the themes, Kabbarim, some of the themes of the book called the Book of Numbers, in light of this grand narrative, in light of the macro, the big picture. So let's look at the big picture, right, of HaTorah, of the narrative. Here, one or two more right here before we ride up. Also tune in to Rastafari Israelites on the YouTube as well. Once feel free to call in, 515-602-9761, 515-602-9761. We hope to open up these lines here to have some reasonings among the Chabarim as well. But first things first, we all have to, you know, get I and I study up, you know, because when we're studying HaTorah, you know, we should stick to the reasonings on the Torah portion, the main reasonings, not be all over the place, right? So giving the fellow disciples, you know, a time and opportunity to become familiar, you know, with the Torah reading and feedings, and with the general order, according to the royal order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, after the order of Malachias Edek Melchizedek. Here, fourth subject here for a potential reasoning in the twos and threes or in more ones and ones from the common unity. In a sense, we are all, quote, living in the desert. In one sense of the word or this expression here, we are all living in the desert, or as I and I once lost now found the Beta Yisrael, Beta Israel here over in the West, we are all living in this wilderness. In this wilderness here, those of us here in this 400-year experience in Americas and the Caribbean, living in this wilderness of North Americas and the Caribbean. But just in a general sense, we are all living in a sort of a desert. Don't you think? As we, I and I, await that final redemption, what are you learning? What is the I and I learning as I and I walk it out? What are you learning as you walk it out, right? As you walk it out, as you walk with Ha Elohim, Ha Elohim, even as Hanok, right, as Enoch did, through this wilderness here, the wilderness of this world, the wilderness of the world, the flesh, the carnal minded, this satanic sequoia. What are you? What is I and I learning as we walk it out, as we walk with Hyland Him through the wilderness of this world, and in particular for Beta Israel of the West, as we walk through this wilderness, right, of this North Country, even North America. Topic number 5, right here. The formation of the camp of Yisrael was set up with military precision. Have you picked up on that? Because some, you know, who are kind of weak, you know, and they go through it and they're like, oh, it's not repeating the same thing. And they, you know, don't really have the focus of the mind. We pray that ones, that God give ones and ones, you know, the spirit, you know, the irit, the ruach, right, to study, right? Because ones might have missed over that with the, you know, repetition of certain detail, that the formation of the camp of Yisrael, of Israel, it was set up with military precision. In fact, a lot that we find among the militaries of the Gentiles coming no doubt out of what they call common law actually comes from HaTorah and comes from the Hebrew Bible. But we find that the camp here in Numbers, right, in Bamidbar, the camp of Yisrael was set up with a military precision, a military exactness. How does the idea that Hael, that the Almighty would engage Amo, his people, in war with other nations, how does this fit with Yeshua HaMoshiach's view, right, of, quote, turning the other cheek? Here's what someone would say, oh, this is a contradiction, right? Well, is it? We're asking a question. Come make a reason on this. How does the idea that Jah would engage Jah people, his people, in war with other nations fit with this idea that many one have of Yeshua HaNotmi and the view of what Yeshua Robeinu said, right, in the Gospels concerning turning the other cheek and loving our enemies? See, for many ones and ones that are, I can say, see, there's a context, as we mentioned before, right? This is Hebrew, right? This is from a Hebrew perspective, and Hebrew means to cross over. So those who haven't been able to cross out of the carnal mind, these two things is a they will clash up against each other. It's very interesting, this particular reasonment. We might pick up with this particular reasonment right here concerning what we have here in this fourth book of Moshe, fourth book of the Torah, right, known as in the wilderness, the book of Numbers, the formation of the camp of Yisrael, the connection of the military utility, the military precision. And then there's the idea that we have directly here in HaTorah that Hashem, right, that Jehovah would engage his people, right, in war with other nations. This was seen to contradict what Robeinu, I Rabbi, the Rabbi of Rabbis, Yeshua HaNotri, his view, right, according to the Gospels, of turning the other cheek and of loving our enemy. Is there a difference between national and personal ethics? Is there a difference here? Some see in this seeming contrast, for some they see a contradiction. I would say right here from the top, they are imagining a contradiction, right? But if you're reading this half original, like with a half Hebrew mentality, but still have a half original, half Gentile mentality, yeah, this is a little bit of a difficult one because there's a context here. But is there a difference here between national ethics and personal ethics? Should there be a difference between our ethics as a people, as a nation, and our personal ethics? When is spiritual warfare justified? Some say that war, there can't be no such thing as a just war or a righteous war. There's different thoughts on it, right? Even some that's ascribed to the King of Kings, right? We'll address that. But right here as a basic topic of reasonment here, from this 34th degree of our Rastafari sabbatical study. When is spiritual war justified? And is war ever justified? When is spiritual warfare justified? Is it ever right? Is it ever right to hate the enemies of Elohim, the true good, the true God of Eloheinu, of our power? Is it ever right to hate the enemies of Eloheinu, of our power? What about Hasatan, the devil or Satan, as he is called, as they are called? Is it ever right to hate Hasatan? Should I and I be willing to show love for the evil one? Now, this fifth one here, this topic of discussion right here, we're going to just break down this build a little bit here. Hopefully, ones and ones gather in. Going to fulfill right here this 34th sabbatical study with the prophet's reading and the Haftarah. But right here, right now, stay tuned for ones and ones and the listening. Yes, sir.
Stay tuned for the Haftarah and the Brit HaChadash Aliyot. Aliyot, 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 Aliyot.
So on this point about the formation of the camp of Yisrael, the formation of the camp actually is the Mahanaim. Mahanaim. In fact, in Genesis, in the King James Version, in the narrative of Yaakov, where Jacob was about to meet with his long estranged brother Esau, there's a place he goes and it's called Mahanaim, where he sends out messengers, and it says that he met with the angels, right? That's called Mahanaim. And Mahanaim in the Hebrew is camp. Mahanaim means like two, with the yod mem, the im at the end, means two or more, right? Usually two or more. So we have two camps here. Even here with the camp of Yisrael, we have the camp of the rank and file Israelites. And then we have the camp of Halloween, the camp of the sanctuary, right? The camp of the Levites and the priests. Yes, the camp of Yisrael was set up with military for military utility, for the sake of military utility. The census was taken, and the camp is being set up with military precision. But let's also note who is eligible, right? Who is actually eligible? As in one of the earlier topics of discussion, we see that only the adult males called Zakar, all the Zakar, right, or the Zikur, all of the males of Amo Yisrael. The women and the children were not counted, right? And the mixed multitude, those other nations and Gentiles who bandwagon rode or tagged along with Amo Yisrael during the exodus from Mitzrayim, right, they also were not included in the number. In fact, the members of the mixed multitude, they were ineligible to serve in the army, and they were excluded from the camp of Yisrael. So when we get into the camp formation, we're looking at, first of all, the holy place at the heart of the camp, then the Levites surrounding that, and then the 12 tribes of Yisrael surrounding that, and then even HaTorah speaks about the mixed multitude, right, who were at the edge of the camp. They were at the edge of the camp, not at the center of the camp. So here we are getting to look at the order within the order. Now, one of the main reasons why the adult males of Yisrael were counted is because at this particular point of the narrative, they should be getting ready to enter into the promised land. At this point of the narrative, the 40 years of wandering is not in view. Why? Because they had not reached that 10th, trespass, the 10th time that they was testing Yahuwah Eloheinu, right? And we have the 10 spies that brought back lies that discouraged a whole generation, right, from getting up and moving forward. So through Moses' advocacy, Jah wanted to destroy them, but actually they just wandered to death. But before all of that happened, they were to be the strike force for the inheritance of Yisrael. And the only ones eligible were those who could trace their pedigree, as the KJV uses this word pedigree, right? So here you probably have heard of this word from the ISUPK and some of the One West camps, they often refer to this particular area of scripture to define, right, according to their mind, to define who is an Israelite. We say that this area does not define who is an Israelite per se, right, but who has a right to the land, who has a right to the land, a title in the land, who can trace their pedigree from Yaakov, Jacob, Yisrael, from the patriarchs, the sons, the B'nai Yaakov, the sons of Jacob, therefore the B'nai Yisrael. This is why here in Numbers chapter 1, verse 18, this is the verse that often they go to, and then they show you the 12 tribes chart. Stay tuned, stay tuned. We're going to do a vlog and a brief study on what is right about the 12 tribes chart. Because as we point out what is right, hopefully ones could see for themselves what may not be right and what is wrong. But what is right about the 12 tribes chart? So stay tuned for that. But here's where the One West camp, the 70 AD, right, the 1970 AD camps that rose up and broke away from the royal order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, here's where they point to this particular area here to describe, right, who is an Israelite, right? You probably have seen this often. You can check out some of the classic videos from different camps, right? But we know that the One West camp, the Israeli School of Universal Practical Knowledge, later to be known as the Israelite School of Universal Practical Knowledge, was the first, right? But then there was some, you know, there's different things that have happened. And now we see there's other camps that broke away from that original One West camp. And this is the One West camp that was prior to the general now, General Yohanan, which is over, we can say, the kind of restoration. He's kind of done a little something like Josiah did within the scripture. But here they point to Numbers chapter 1, verse 18, where it says, and they assembled all the congregation together on the first day of the second month, and they declared their pedigrees after their families by the house of their fathers, their patriarchs, according to the number of the names, the Shemot, from 20 years old and upward by their poles. Because the intent right here, the ordering of the host, the ordering of the army, is the ordering of the army to go in and to take the land. To go in and to take the land. In other words, it's the faith, right, by works principle here, right? They had faith in what the patriarchs communicated to them, what their fathers told them, that their fathers told them, that their fathers, coming from the Hebrew triunity, the Hebrew trinity of patriarchs, from Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. So those who could trace their lineage back to the patriarch Jacob through the 12 tribes, therefore from Jacob connects with Isaac, therefore connects with Abraham, these would have the right to hold a title to land. In other words, no one in John's plan could hold any title to the land that he promised to Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, right? Yaakov, Yisrael, could have any title to the land if they could not trace their pedigree or their descent from the 12 sons of Jacob. Let's make that very clear. See, when we understand that, then other areas of HaTorah, the direction, instruction, become very clear. That's why Jehovah later on in this fourth book would say that none of the men, right, you know, none of the men from 20 years old and upward, the men of war. So basically what happened is in the first numbering of the men of war, they was to go in, right, they was to go in and to capture the land, to fight and to capture the land and to drive out the Kanaanu, right, the seven nations. They were to drive out the seven nations of Canaan, right? But what happens as we go forward in this fourth book is we get this, how can you say, the spies, right? When we get up to, like, say, chapter 13, we get these spies, right, the spies that went in. And then of the 12 spies that went in, one for every tribe, right, 10 of them brought back an evil report, right? And this evil report, as it says right here in Numbers chapter 14, chapter 14, verse 36, it says, and the men that Moses sent to search the land, to tour the land, to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander up on the land. Now, this is interesting. A slander upon the land. Usually when we have slander, it's either slander against the God or slander against a man. Here we have in Numbers chapter 14, verse 36, slander against the land. And the same thing that we, the once lost now found, Beta Israel over here in the Americas and Caribbean, same thing that we do, right? Same thing do some of the, you know, some of the brother and fellow Israelites do concerning even the Africanite land, concerning Africa as well. They bring up slander against the land, but doesn't Psalm 24 says that the earth is Yahuwah's and all of her fullness, the world and they who dwell in her? Here it says, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before Jehovah. Now, furthermore, it says that when they were about to go in the land, that none of those men of war, he was not pleased. So here's in a sense where he's not pleased with a man because he's a warrior. I'm sure enough of them were warriors. You know, enough of them could fight. Enough of them were no cowards. But they became a coward concerning the evil report, right? And they went along with the evil report, and they basically lost their place, right? They lost their place. Jah was no longer willing, right, to bring them in. So those who he had brought out of the land of Egypt were not worthy or shown themselves not worthy to be brought in to the promised land. So we have a 40-year, right, kind of like a 40-year delay, right? And then we get the new count, we get a new generation, and that new generation becomes that vanguard to go in there, right, and to drive out the seven nations of the Kanaanu, the Canaanite nations. So that's the context of this. It's not saying, well, who all is an Israelite, men, women, and children? No. It's only looking at the man, them, right? The men, the adult males of Israel, as it says right here, from 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel. Thou and Aharon and Aaron shall number them by their armies. And with you there shall be a man of every tribe, everyone head or Rosh in the Hebrew, Ras, head, Ras of the house of his fathers, of the house of his patriarch. So there's a purpose to the numbering, right? There's a purpose to the numbering, right? There's a purpose to the numbering, who is numbered and who is not numbered, the woman and the children. Because there was no military utility to be required upon the man, upon the males. There was a military utility requirement. It was not upon the mixed multitude, right? Because the mixed multitude were ineligible to serve in the army, and they were also excluded from the camp, and they were clearly designated as outsiders. And from even the narrative we have here in the fourth book, they appear to have become a burden on Amo Yisrael and a distraction too. But here in this fifth reasoning point about the formation of the camp being set up with military precision, and how does the idea that Jah would engage his people in war with other nations, how does this fit with Yeshua's view of what's called the, quote, turning the other cheek and loving our enemies? Well, first and foremostly, where does it say to turn the other cheek? Let's just go to this kind of simply right here, but according to the scripts, right, to the law, the Torah, and to the testimony, right, even the New Testament, if they speak not like this, it's because there is no light in them. So let's look up turn and cheek for a moment. Where is this found in the scripture. We find this in one place in the gospel according to Mateo, Matthew's gospel, chapter 5, verse 39. Red letter. But I say to you that ye all resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. So here we have it in Matthew chapter 5, verse 39, and also the connection with the love of thy enemies. But let's go to the top of the chapter, right? Let's go to the top of the chapter, right? Chapter 5, verse 39, that's the verse with turn the other cheek and all that. But here in chapter 5, the top of the chapter, it says, and seeing the multitudes, sounds like mixed multitudes, right? Seeing the multitudes, he, speaking of Adonai, Yeshua went up into a mountain. He allied up. Like Moshe went up, he allied up. Yeshua went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciple, Talmudio, his Talmudim, his disciples, they came to him. Right? And he, verse 2, and he opened his mouth and taught them. Who do you teach here? He taught the Romans. He was teaching the Greeks. You know, he was teaching the Canaanites, other nations. Who was he teaching here? He was teaching just all the Israelites. No. It says, and seeing the multitudes, right? This is called reading comprehension. He went up into the mountain, and when he was set, so when he went up and he got himself all ready, then his disciples, right, came to him, and then he, Yeshua, Adonai, he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, what? The Beatitudes, Ashrei, happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So what we have here is his instruction to his disciples. What we have here is instruction to his disciples. It's not rules of engagement like in war with other nations. No, it's instruction to his disciples. This goes along with the other area that's found in the New Testament where he says that everyone will know that you're my disciples. Everyone will know that you're my disciples by how much love you have one for the other, one for each other. So what's the context here? He is talking to his disciples. Those who were called and those who chose to follow him, to learn, to grow in grace and in knowledge, and to recognize and accept Yeshua HaNotri as HaMoshiach. He is speaking to his disciples, and he's saying that everyone else will know that you, who I have chosen. So we see the separation between the disciples and even other Israelites. We find this throughout the New Testament scripture. Right. Even in his high priestly prayer. Right. He says how he doesn't pray for the world. Right. But he prayed for those who Abba Father has given him out of the world. Right. He says they are thine and you have given them. You know, it's a very clear demarcation. It's like we have in the Torah here. We have the priests. Right. Who are Levites. Right. But then we have the other Levites who are not priests because they're not sons of Aharon, right? And then we have the rank and file Israelites, right? We have the Israelites who can come and bring offerings, but they themselves cannot function in the priestly capacity even as their forefathers could because now they have entered into this covenant, and these are the terms and conditions of the covenant. So he has chosen the Levites instead of the firstborn sons of Israel, of Israel. And we know that this was predicated on the molten calf incident that occurred earlier. So right here, there is no contradiction. It might be imagined between what Jah is instructing his people in the wilderness, right, engaging his people in war with other nations, and what Yeshua's teaching was to the Talmudim, to his disciples. That's why he said to his disciples, right, all shall know. Was he saying everybody in the world? Or was he speaking about all other Israelites who know that, wow, y'all must be disciples of Yeshua Well, how do you know that we're disciples of Yeshua? Because of the love you have one for another. So we can see that even there is the separation between the disciples and the apostles who credited and had good faith, right, and good credit in Adonai Yeshua HaMashiach from the other Israelites or the ain't right Israelites who were Israelites, but they were not right according to their relation and response to Yeshua. So we see even a separation, and even the scripture speaks about that separation, right? So there was a separation in who Yeshua was speaking this instruction. That's why I get so twisted among ones and ones. It never meant to, okay, you know, we come under a foreign enemy nation who falsely claims and calls themselves Christian, and therefore we should turn the other cheek to them when we know that they are antichrist. No, it's not saying that right there, because that would mean that you're not even a disciple of Yeshua, because you couldn't even discern the difference between the two. So you didn't have the spirit to discern the truth. So right here, just to kind of address that point right there, brothers and sisters, get into this a little bit more right here. But the red letter here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 39, where he speaks about turn the other cheek, this was the instruction that he was giving to his disciples, right? To his disciples, to those who were followers of Rabbeinu Yeshua HaMashiach, as they were followers of other rabbis, other scholars, other teachers, other ones. We follow Yeshua HaMashiach. So therefore, these instructions were specifically. That's why the top of the chapter says that when he saw the multitude, what did he do? He went and gave them this instruction. No, when he saw the multitude, Yeshua went up into the mountain. And when he was set up, right, his disciples came to him. When he was set, when he was ready, his disciples came to him. And then he opened his mouth and he spoke to the multitude. No. He spoke to his disciples. And did he teach the multitude? No, he taught his disciples. You know, we could actually go a little bit further with this if we go to Matthew chapter 13. The disciples were asking Yeshua, say, why are you talking to them in parables? Why are you speaking to them in allegories, in metaphors, in proverbs? Why are you speaking to them in parables? And what did Yeshua say? Right? Because they see, you know, they're hearing here, but, you know, they're seeing blind. They're hearing here, but they're deaf. They can't. But to you, he said, to you, speaking to his disciples, is the mystery, the secret, the confidentials, right, of the kingdom of HaElohim given to y'all. Why? Because they were disciples. They were in the discipline. So we can see right there is that distinction. This is where counterfeit Christianity often does these things. You know what I mean? How they misapply things, right? The teaching of turn the other cheek was strictly, you know, it's like this right here. Say we all Israelites, right? There's different camps. We Rastafari Israelites, but there's the one West. You know, we know we have our differences on certain things, right? All right, so Babylon, the police, we're on the corner, and we're reasoning. Rastafari Israelites is the reason one West is. So we can agree on some things, but we know we're going to disagree on other things, right? Now, we're all ready to go to blows. I'm just saying, just giving the scenario. But when the police officers come along, we all are acting like proper, upstanding citizens, right? So in a sense, even if the police are using some violence to us, we'll be more willing to turn the other cheek to the police, but not because of the Moshiach, but because of fear and cowardice. But with one another, will we be willing to turn the other cheek, even though we are Israelites and they are Israelites, but we disagree and sharply on this doctrine, this teaching? Are we willing to turn the other cheek? Even amongst ones and ones debating points on their YouTubes or videos or back and forth, ones and ones talking like gangsters. You don't know me. I'll come and I'll do that, 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 that. I'm like, my goodness. You just reason about the Torah. You just reason about the scripts. Where it talks about like that brotherly love that we're supposed to have as Israel. And here we're disagreeing on something, and you're ready now, you know, to get the strap. Ain't that something? But now when Babylon comes to your neighborhood and kill innocent people, where is the strap? The strap is nowhere. right? Because you may be Israel, but you're not Israel in truth. You're not Israel in order. That's what we said, that the formation of the camp of Yisrael, the Mahanaim, it was set up with military precision, right? So the turn the other cheek and loving our enemies. Let me just give you one more point on this from Torah. Because some might say, well, yeah, because we're Old Testament Israelites. You talk about New Testament. So I'll give you Old Testament Israelites 1-2 as well, right, on enemy. You know the area in the Torah where it says that if you see your brother, your fellow Israelite, right, who you and your fellow Israelite, you know, your fellow Israelite that you, your enemy, right? If you see your enemy under a burden, and he uses that term, but the context is saying that if you see your fellow Israelite who you happen to be an enemy with, we as Israelites, don't we have enemy? We might not, or enmity, we may have bad feeling to another Israelite, a brother, maybe some business went on, right? And somebody robbed me or robbed you. And, you know, so yeah. So that one's our enemy. So overstand that the term enemy is not just applied with the white man or with other nations, but many times our enemy is ourselves and our own people. So we have in the Torah where it says if you see your enemy underneath his burden and you would not like to, you're feeling, you don't feel like you want to help them. Oh, that's my enemy there. Oh, because he's a Rastafari Israelite. You know, and I'm ISUBK One West, right? So I don't want to help him with his burden. What does the Torah say? John says, right, through Moshe, if you see your enemy suffering under the burden and you don't want to help him with his burden, you don't feel like you don't want to help him, you shall help him. So even right there, we get an example in the Old Covenant or the Hebrew Bible, the Torah, the scriptures of that right there. If you see one of your fellow Israelites who you happen to have some bad vibes or y'all are enemies, you're not on good terms and everything, and you see your fellow Israelite struggling with his donkey is in a ditch. He got a burden, his cart turned upside down and everything. He's trying to get it out the road. And you passing by, you see him, and you just can't help but laugh at him and like, ah, I ain't going to, that serves you right, because you and me, we differ on a theological or doctrinal point. But wait, doesn't Torah say that if you see your fellow Israelite who happens to be your enemy struggling with his burden and you feel like you don't want to help him, you shall help him? So that is another, that's an Old Testament example of what Rabbeinu Yeshua was teaching in Matthew chapter 5 concerning turn the other cheek and loving our enemies. He never gave us that as applied to the Romans. You know what I mean? He never gave us that as applied to other nations. But he knew something that a lot of us even today don't really know. Right? We cannot properly go up against our foreign enemies. Right? If we have so much domestic enmity. He understood that. Everyone understands that. You go in military armies, they even have principles like that. Even in military units of the United States or other armies, sometimes soldiers just don't get along on the personal level. But when they go out there on a mission, right, it's the code. Right? They stay on code. Just want to point that out right there. And there's that esprit de corps, the spirit of the corps, the spirit of the body. This is what Yeshua was seeking to bring out here, right, and there, but especially here in Matthew chapter 5. And it's clear that he did not speak those words to the multitude that were not his disciples. And there's a clear distinction between the multitude of other Israelites, right, and those that Yeshua was speaking to in the same way, as there's a difference between Aharon, Aaron and his sons as the priests, right, and the other Levites as the Levitical order and the rank and file Israelites. So here, brothers and sisters, we'll pick up on this a little more. Here, we've got 55 minutes before we have the, hopefully that grace, Iowa, for a little more reason. But here, let's complete right here. This 34th degree of I&I, Rastafari sabbatical Seder right here.
Stay tuned for the Haftarah and the Brit HaChadash Aliyot. Aliyot, 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 Aliyot.
So here, the Bracha, here, the blessing before the reading. of the Haftarah, the prophet's reading right here, here, here.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam Asher bachar b'nebiim tobim Veratzah b'debreihem Hane'amarim ba'emet Baruch atah Adonai Habocher b'torah U'moshe abdo U'beisrael ammo U'benebiei ha'emet watzelik. Blessed art the I, Adonai, Eloheinu, eternal King, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed art the I, Adonai, who chooses the Torah and Moses, his servant, and Israel, his people, and the prophets of truth and righteousness.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
Book of Hosea, chapter 2, verses 1 to 23. Besem ma'am, wa valet nefesokadu sahadlum lak. Say to your brethren, Ami, and to your sistren, Ru'ama. Plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked, and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, midbar, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredom, for their mother have played the harlot. She that conceived them have done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers, that I give my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, my oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns, and make a wall that she shall not find her path. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of my hand. I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her Shabbat, and all her solemn feasts. I will destroy her vines and her fig trees. Wherefore she hath said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me, and I will make them a forest, and the beast of the field shall eat them. And I will visit upon her the days of Baalim, wherein she burned Aishans to them. And she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers and forgot me, saith Yahweh Buruku. Therefore, behold, I will lure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably to her. And I will give her vineyards from thence in the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there, as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith Yahweh Buruku, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt call me no more Baali. For I will take away the names of Baalim out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beast of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. And and I will betroth thee to me for Ivah. Yea, I will betroth thee to me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercy. I will even betroth thee to me in faithfulness. And thou shalt know Yahweh, and it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith Yahweh, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth, and the earth shall hear the corn, and the wine, and the oil, and they shall hear Yazriah, and I will sow her to me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy, and I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my Elohim, Buruku. Amen. What was once in the dark now come to light. So-called black man, Israelite. And when we speak upon the truth, know them never lie. Cause they shine bright with the light that created light. And the black white for the original man. From the original land with the original tan. Melanin, the land that I dwell in, I'm a felon in. Pause, holy cannabis lit, I'm inhaling it. Smoke, raise up, Kedemawi, Halas alive. Praise up, and we living in the last time, days up. Everybody was asleep while I stayed up. And then I dug into the scriptures real deep. 3 or 4 days fasting, no sleep. Let me think how I ended. I descended from the one Elohim befriended and spoke through the smoke. Why do we have to provoke? Why do we have to think lower than the white man? Can you imagine when Moses pulled out a white hand? What the world was like then?
Yes, I, Ami, 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 Ruhama, right there, also the Ishi, Ishi, not Ishi, Ishi in Amharic means affirmative, but it's Ishi, 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 man, Ishi, my man, and shall call me no more Ba'ali, Ba'ali, Ba'ali is my husband in Hebrew, Ba'ali, my husband, Ishi, Ishi, my man. But the top of Hosea, give thanks, Rasahar Ahad, for the read right there from the Haftarah. Haftarah Bamidbar. Haftarah Bamidbar. Like to zoom in on the Ami. Call your brothers Ami. Ami means my people. Call your brethren Ami and say to your sisters, Ruhama, Ruhama, she who has received mercy.
Shalom, Chabarim, Shalom, Ami, Ami, Shalom, Ruham, Shalom to my brothers and sisters, according to that word of prophecy in Hosea, Hosea chapter 2, just follow up, so we say Shalom, Ami, Ami,
yes, greetings, greetings,
yes, greetings, my people, yes, here on the air and in the iris. Yes, I hit up your social media, invite ones, let them know we're on the air, share, whether they're here for beer. Yes, I, Rastafari, Discipleship Radio, is on the air. Shalom, Chavarim, Shalom. I am Tafari, Ras, Iadonis Tafari, of the line of the tribe of Judah, Yehuda, Moa, Anbesa, Machiver. Yes, I, come. Yes, I, come make I and I rally around. Yes, I, Jatron. Word, sound, power of the King of Kings Christ. Bible, your Bible, make I and I study to shoot I and I selves approve. Shalom, Ami, Shalom. Yes, I, Shalom.
Yes, I,
brothers,
Shalom,
yes, I,
brothers
and sisters.
Shalom, Ami. Shalom.
Shalom,
Ruhama.
In Jamaica, and the troubles in America, and the troubles all around the world for all the people who are oppressed by a system. Do you see that through these cultural activities, is that the best way to reach people in your opinion?
I am not trying to reach people. I am what I am.
Mm-hmm.
See, and there's a lot more people like me out there, which is my people. So I'm not trying to reach a strange people. The people that I'm reaching is my own people. Mm-hmm. We're all the same thing. We come in this time as our people. It's not nobody else still but our people.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Really.
Well, thanks.
So when I really come out in the world to strangers, it's not strangers. We might never see one another for a long while, but it's our people.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel, O children of Israel? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? Children of the Ethiopians. Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, children of Israel?
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. What?
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam. Asher natan lanu Moshiach Yeshua. Wehabarut Shel habarit ha hadasha. Baruch atah Adonai. Notain habarit ha hadasha. Blessed are you, Lord, our God, King of the universe, who gave to us the Messiah, Jesus, and the commandments of the new covenant. Blessed are you, Lord, giver of the new covenant.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
The Brit Chadasha Chadis Kidan Renewed Covenant Reading for RSS number 34, Bamidbar, coming from the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 9, verse 22 through 33. We begin, B'shem ha'ab with ha'bein with ruach ha'kadosh Yahweh ahad. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, he who be, who he be, the one. Romans chapter 9, verse 22, Kaf Beit, verse 23, Kaf Gimel, verse 24, Kaf Dalet. Uma efoa im ha-Elohim he-chapetz le-ha-ra'ot za'immo u-le-chodia geborato las'ar pekorek ruho et kle za'am ha-nikonim le-abadon le-chodia gam et asher kebodo bekle ha-chanina asher hikim le-kabod Wehem anachnu asher karanu lo min ha-Yehudim lebadam ki af min ha-Goyim. What if Elohim, willing to shew his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, that he had afore prepared to glory, even us, whom he has called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles? The prophets foretold the blinding of Israel and mercy to the Gentiles. As he saith also in Osi, in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass, that in the place where it was said to them, ye are not my people, there they shall be called B'nei El Chai, children of the living God. Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will Adonai Yahweh, will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except Yahweh Tzevaot had left us a seed, we had been made as to Sodom and been made like to Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles that followed not after righteousness have obtained to righteousness, even the righteousness that is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness,
has not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as if it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. Kaburlakalu, Kaburladimtu, Kaburlakhailu, Kaburlakedamawi, Haile Selassie, but Jesus Christos Sim. Glory to word, glory to sound, glory to power. Glory to Abinu, Melkenu, our Father, our King, the first power of the Trinity, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Yes, I, Rastafari.
Kadamawi, Kadamawi.
The whole praise is due for help.
We have fulfilled all. Praise be to Mesken, to Mesken, Xiavi, you Mesken, Jesus Christos, Jesus Christos, Jesus Christos, Jesus
Christos. You name Jagat and is terrible among men. He did not like the name. Yes, and you name Jagat and it's terrible among men. He them no like your name. For when I call him Rastafari, watch how we can tremble. He them no like your name. For when I call him Rastafari, watch how we can tremble. He then no like your name.
I and I are the black Jews. And Israel King is Israel God. And upon the crucifixion tree there, where Jesus Christ is crucified, you see I-N-R-I.
Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord. Selah.
Said on Sundays, the first day. Sidkinya Sarah Senvetina Yakabram Sohulu Sadikno Wade Ekaziavi Heram Lukota Yegeba Commitmentana Yilayena Yohona Fetzmoibel Sidkinya Sarah Senvetin Yakabramso Hulu Sadikno. Blessed is he who does truth and honors the Sabbath. Let him not question whether he would be outcast from the multitudes if he was to enter into the worship of the sustainer Ekazi Abher Cha Rastafari. Blessed is he who does truth, righteousness, and honors the Sabbath, the Senbet.
Now, here honoring the Sabbath, the Senbet, the Shabbat, brings us here to the first day. Here we're counting the seventh Shabbat complete in this Shavuot, this week, this strong here, beginning with this day right here, here, here. Sabbath seal 144, the Baraka, the increase, prosperity, the blessing for the seven to come.
Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children whose mouth speaketh vanity and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord.
Yes, yes, yes. God bless the eye and keep the eye, cause its face is grace to shine on the eye and eye and eye. Yes, I may he reward and prosper the works of eye and eye hands in this new Shavuah. This new seven to come, and here, 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 that was Psalm 144, a Sabbath seal psalm, a prep for the new Shavuot, the new seven, the new week to come. So here, 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 with that, as well as this here, has a priestly blessing adapted, Psalm 67. Yes, sir.
Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. O, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him, 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 shall fear him.
Psalm 61.
Mizmor Samech Aleph Lamatzea Hal Neginat LeDavid.
Hear my cry, O God, O God, O God.
Shim'a Elohim Rinnati.
Attend unto my prayer, to my prayer, to my prayer, to my prayer.
Hakshiva Tefillati, 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 Tefillati.
From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows, 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 my vows.
Mizmor Samech Aleph Lamnatzea Hal Nedinat LeDavid. Shim'a Elohim Rinnati Hakshiva Tefillati.
Yes, yes, yes. Here, here, here. Today's daily psalm, right there, there, there. It's a little sampler. Yes, I. So here we have we have the first reading here, 34 sabbatical study, looking forward. Nah, so coming forward, forward. Let's review right here a couple of interesting points here in Hosea, particularly some of the Hebrew that gets that doesn't get translated fully. You know, they said say y'all to your brethren. They could have said say y'all to your brethren, my people, and to your sisters, one shown mercy, or ones receiving, she who have obtained mercy. It could have said that right there, as well as furthermore in the Hosea reading, as well as in Romans chapter 9 from verse 22 to 33, there is a reference here to this Hosea reading that is the Haftarah, the prophet's reading that accompanies the first reading here in the book of Numbers. Very interesting, just the connection right here. Also in this particular chapter, chapter 2, we have right here where it says, and it shall be as that day, saith Yahweh, hey, Yahweh, that thou shalt call me Ishi, Ishi. Thou shalt call me Ishi, which is to say my, literally in the Hebrew, it's my man, right? And Baali is say my husband or my master. So Ishi, my man, or in a higher sense, my husband, my man. Like even today, a woman might say, oh, this is my man, right? She means like that's Ishi. You know, that's her husband or her man. Not that that's her Baali, my master. This thought that was kind of interesting right there, because Ishi, this will bring out some of the Hebrew right here, right? Ishi, right? We have Ishi and we have Isha. All right, so let's just go to some of the basics here, zooming in, the Irish calling me to look into this Hosea right here. Because, okay, it says, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that instead of that which was said to them, ye, y'all, are not my people, it shall be said to them, y'all, ye all are the children. Ye all are the children of the living God, or B'nai El Hai, B'nai sons of El, the Almighty Hai, the living power, the living God, B'nai El Hai, sons of the living Almighty, sons of the living power, the living God. So here at the first part, just a little bit of breakdown and build right here. We usually zoom in on the Torah reading and feeding, but we have three parts of the reading, from Torah the Haftarah, and also the Brit Chadasha. Clearly, we can see how the Brit Chadasha, and give thanks to Ras Ayas and Tafar for the read right there, the Romans chapter 9, verses 22 to 23. But let's go into a little bit of study right here for the Haftarah Bamidbar. Here we have Hosea chapter 2. Now, the first verse where it says, yet the number. Now, this sentence here, beginning off in the prophet Hosea, we get Yahoshua, Savior, sense of Savior, Hosea. This sentence here, it marks a striking change of mood as compared with the concluding words of the preceding chapter. So here we just get a kind of a snippet here for the Haftarah read. Remember, the fuller full is in Hosea, or what is often categorized as the minor prophets, or the 12 prophets. So Hosea is in the fuller full, Hebraically speaking, is connected with the 12 prophets. So here we're just zooming in to chapter 2. And here, some of the notes to be shared is that this sentence, the one that reads, yet the number of the Bnei Yisrael, yet the number of the children, the sons of Israel, shall be as the sand of the sea. Wahaya mispar Bnei Yisrael, k'chol hayam, k'chol, like the sand, the chol hayam. Hayam, the sea, like the sand of the sea. Yet the number, the mispar, in the Hebrew mispar, the number. We also have the separ, cipher, also there, but here mispar, the number. This sentence here marks a striking change of mood as compared with the concluding words of the first chapter of Hosea. Though Yisrael, Israel, forfeited Ha'el, the Almighty's favor, and was driven into captivity, their numbers will be great even there, and they will eventually return to Ha'elohim, to Ha'elohim. Now, this is interesting here because according to what we have here, that even though Israel had forfeited Jah's favor and was driven, or really drove themselves into captivity, their numerical, you say, value or number, right? So Yisrael, according to the scripts here, would have not just a few, but would have numbers, right? And that they would eventually return to Ha'elohim, to Elohim, of the living God. See, here's the key right here where it says of the living God, or Bnei El Chai. Bnei El Chai. Here's what we want to do right here to show what even the apostles did, even before I, showing I the practice, the pattern, the precept. Let's go to Romans chapter 9. Let's look at Romans chapter 9 for a moment. Because in the New Covenant sense, New Testament sense, the scripture that they had was the Hebrew scriptures. So the scripture, in other words, the New Testament was not even written at that time, right? The New Testament we have, that's called the Brit Chadasha scrolls or scriptures, the New Testament, it was not written at that time. This is one reason why in Romans, the epistle to the Romans, we have Rabbi Shaul, a.k.a. the Apostle Paulo, right? And here in chapter 9, picking up with verse 22 right here. Well, let's zoom a little bit forward right here to verse 25. This section where the prophets foretold the blinding of Yisrael, the blinding of Yisrael, and mercy to the Gentiles. Got a vlog of it, somewhat inspired right there. It's about Luke chapter 4, verse 18, comparing that with Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. Some say that, well,
these two verses are not consistent based on the King James Version translation. And the difference is in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, where Yeshua went into the synagogue of Nazareth, and as was his custom, he went up to read. So as we have I and the brothers reading the Aliyot, you know, the Torah reading Aliyot, the Haftarah Aliyot, and the Brit Chadash Aliyot. In them times, it was mainly the Torah Aliyot. Once we go up to read a portion of that Shabua, that week's Torah portion reading and feeding, and one would go up to read the Haftarah or the prophet's reading. So in Romans, well, actually in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the section of scripture he's reading is from Isaiah. And there it talks about the opening of the eyes, you know, the opening recovery. It says the recovery of sight to the blind. Well, it's very interesting if you read the Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. Yeah, it reads different in the English translation. But the English translation claims to be translated based on the Hebrew and the original languages. So when we look at the Hebrew, we actually have the link where the contradiction, right, is imagined if we approach it from the true approach of Scripture. So let's approach this from the true approach of Scripture and look at what Paul is saying here in Romans chapter 9, verse 25. This section that is called the prophets, ha-nabiyat, ha-nabim, the nabiyayim, the nabim, the prophets foretold the blinding of Yisrael. Now, in that V-log, we haven't published it just yet in that V-log because it kind of led to a point where I brought up the point about how Sutan, according to the ancient Kemetic mythology, how the evil uncle had snatched out, you know, Horus Heru's eye. It's interesting who have snatched out our eye, but the prophets foretold the blinding of Yisrael and mercy to the Goyim and mercy to the nations. Verse 25 says, as he saith also in Hosea. So here in the New Testament, we have Hosea spelt as O-S-E-E, O-C. In the Old Testament, somebody can make a contradiction out of that. Oh, look, it's O-C there. There's no prophet named Osi, and here it says Hosea. It's the same name. What's interesting, it shows how the same name or word sound among different speakers can be spoken. You know, among different speakers can be spoken. Like we say El, Ha-El, El, like Elohim, Elohai, right? But then some of our people, even on the continent, say Olu. They say Olu, Olu, Ola, Olu. But here, as he saith also in O.C., speaking of Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, who was not beloved. Verse 26, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said to them, y'all are not Ami, not Ami. Ami in the Hebrew. Ami is my people. Am, people. Amo, his people, the people. Ami, my people. Y'all are not Ami. There shall they be called Bnei El Hai. Bnei, the children of El, the power, Hai, the living power. Then it goes on in verse 27 to say that Esaias. So first we have the quote from O.C., right, or Hosea. Then he goes on with a quote from Yeshayah, Isaiah. Esaias also crieth concerning Yisrael. Crieth, calleth out, shouteth, lifteth up his voice. Not a boo-hoo-hoo cry, but a shout out. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. Verse 28, for he will finish the walk, he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will Adawan make up on the earth. Let's just pause it right here for a moment.
Because interesting, it comes out in the same way in the next prophet, Hosea. Hosea brings out the same sense. Yet the number of the B'nai Yisrael shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that instead of that which was said to them. So now we know what Hawari Apollos or Rav Shaul, right, Rabbi Saul, a.k.a. Brother Apollos, had in mind. Right? Even his quotes in the New Testament scripture, along with what other quotes, it makes I and I who study HaTorah, right, the true Yehudi way, it makes us recognize, oh, okay, truly what he said about being a Pharisee and being a Yehudi and a Jew and the strictest, you know, his education, truly is true, right? Because this is what gives us a hint right here, even in this 34, as we have Hosea chapter 2, verses 1 to 22, and we compare and contrast this even here with the reading from the Brit Hadasha. So here he is quoting in his preaching and proclamation of the gospel, even the gospel of the kingdom, he is referring here to the scriptures, and in particular here to this Haftarah right here. Let's read on a little bit more. And the children of Yehuda, Judah, and the children of Israel shall be gathered together. Now, of course, there's some interesting context to what we have in this particular time. Some prophets, right, was sent to, you could say, Israel and the northern kingdom, and some prophets were sent to the southern kingdom. But here with Hosea, it says, and the children of Yehuda and the children of Israel, speaking of the southern kingdom, Judah, and the northern 10 tribes, Israel, shall be gathered together. This means that at this present time when the prophet is speaking, that they were not gathered together. It's a prophecy. This is to come to pass. And they shall appoint themselves one head and shall go up out of the land. For great shall be the day of Jezreel. Another Hebrew name and word here, Jezreel. Note they didn't even translate Jezreel. So what does Jezreel mean? How are we to understand what Yisrael, Jezreel. Jezreel has a sense of to sow, like the Zara. Zara is a seed. Yisrael is like the sowing. It can be implied even the sowing of the power, the sowing of God. Say, verse 3, say y'all to your brethren, Ami, Ami, A-M-M-I in the Hebrew, Ami, means literally in the Hebrew, it means my people. So a question can be brought out here. Why is it say to the brothers, my people? And then here it says, say to your sisters, Ruhama. Say to your sisters, Ruhama, that means she that has obtained compassion, or she that has obtained mercy. So they shall be gathered together. This is said to refer to the Messianic age, to the time of HaMoshiach. This is said to refer to the time of the Messiah, the time of HaMoshiach, or what is referred to as the Messianic age. Right, the Messianic age. One head. How about the one head? The one head. The one head is speaking of HaMoshiach, right? HaMoshiach, or the Messiah. The Messiah. A descendant from the house of King David. A descendant from the house of King David. Let's share this right here, right, on that right here. Such as,
what is true?
And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd.
It is good that you are here to record this picture of me in my palace garden at Addis Ababa. People who see this throughout the world will realize that even in the 20th century, with faith, courage, and a just cause, David will still beat Goliath.
And David, my servant, shall be king over them. And they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children's children, forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore, evermore, evermore, evermore.
And the children of Yehuda, the children of Judah, and the children of Israel shall be gathered together, and they shall appoint themselves one head with Samu Lahem, and they shall appoint for themselves with Samu Lahem Rosh Echad, Rosh, head, Echad, one head, and shall go up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Yisrael, 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 or Jezreel, Jezreel, Jezreel. What about the day, this great, the day of Jezreel, the day of Yisrael? Who is Yisrael? Let's break this down and build on this. Now, the gathering of Yisrael from the countries that Ha'el, Ha'el, the Almighty, the El, the power, had scattered them as seed. The Hebrew word Yisrael, Yisrael, right, being construed as a combination of Yizra, 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 which means sowing seed. A sower went forth to sow seed, Yizra, Yizra, sowing seed, and El, Yizra, El, Yizra, Yizra, El, Yizra, El, sowing seed of El, of the power. Some take this here to refer to the predicted crushing defeat of Israel, of Yisrael, of Israel in the valley of Jezreel in the previous chapter, chapter 1 of Hosea, chapter 1, verse 5. He understood the great here, the gadol, great or big up, great, as meaning long, right? So when it says right here, for great shall be the day of Jezreel, the word in the Hebrew is gadol. Gadol means big, great, important. But here, some bring this out as long, that the disaster of that day will result in a long, a great, a significant exile. Verse 3, say to your brethren, say to the brethren, Ami, say to the brothers, my people. So it's like we refer to our brothers and sisters saying, what's up, brethren? What's up, brethren? My people. What's up, my people? What's up, my people? All right. If I say, what's up, brother? And so saying, brother, brethren, my people. And to the sisters, Ruhama, Ruhama, she who has obtained mercy, she who has obtained compassion, Ruhama. So say to your brethren, Ami. So here, Hosea, the prophet, he turns to the tribes of Yehuda, of Judah, and Benjamin, and Benjamin, and he requests them to address the 10 tribes, speaking about the northern kingdom, Yisrael, the Israelites, returning from exile. The 10 tribes returning from exile, to refer to them as Ami, to refer to them as my people. No longer were they to be called, as we have in the first chapter of Hosea, where it reads, lo, Ami, lo, lo means no or not, Ami, my people. So lo, Ami, not my people. And to your sisters, the mention of brethren, brethren and sisters, this is due to the prophet's imagery, the imagery that he's bringing out here in the prophecy of a family. See the connection even here, Yuvat Torah, and the emphasis on the family structure, the importance of the family. So the imagery here of a family implied in the next verse coming forward, your mother. So we have brethren, right? The brethren are me, the sisters, the sistren, Ruhama. And in the next verse, it says, plead with your mama. Plead with your mother, plead. For she is not Ishti. She is not my wife, my Eshet, my Oset. Neither am I her husband. We anoki lo ishaha. Lo ishaha. Anoki lo ishaha. I am not her isha. I am not her man. And let her put away her harlotries from her face and her adulteries from between her breasts. So what do we have right here? Verse 4, with your mother. So coming from verse 3, Hosea here, zooming in on the Haftarah, with a mention of brethren and sisters, this is due to the prophet bringing forward the imagery of a family implied in your mother and her children, the sons and daughters, as we have it here in Hosea chapter 2, coming up at the 6th verse. But here, the 4th verse, with your mother, plead with your mother. Ribu be'imakem. In the Hebrew, it has this sense here, ribu. Ribu, like ribu, it's to plead, but it's like when you go to court. It's almost like a legal contention, right? It's like a legal argument, an argument according, say, to Torah, according to law. Ribu. Right, rebo, like a legal contending. It says, rebo, all of y'all. It's not saying to one person, to one man, right, reeb, right, but it's saying, rebo, all of y'all plead, be, by way of, upon, imakem, im, the aim, mother. Here we have imakem. You all have one mother. Here's the context. You all have one mother. Rebo. Plead. They're saying, please, plead. Ki he, for she. Ki for, because. Ki he, because she lo ishti, for she is not my wife. We anoki lo ishaha, and I am not her isha. I am not her isha. I'm not her man. I'm not her husband. Now, remember here, Yahuwah, Jehovah, right, is committing this to the prophet Hosea. All right, let's look at the context here. Although we might think it's about this man and that woman, but there's a big picture right here with your mother. Your present communities, which are the mother of future generations. Some look at it like that. Plead with the community. Because as the term im and ima and am, ema, ima, mother is often used. Okay, here, y'all. We got 90 seconds, y'all. All right, so if anybody is still up, you know, and in the listening, got 90 seconds right here, right? The last part of this podcast right here for this 34th degree of I&I Rastafari sabbatical study. And here is going with the inspiration of the Ruach HaKadosh to zoom in right here on the Hosea, right? Hosea, the Hosea portion right here. Some really, really key words. Some really, really key Hebrew words and terminology. And we cite this as being revealed in Rastafari. Even this emphasis on the brethren and the sister. You know, there's a equality right here. Now turning to the mother. As he was mentioning that the community is regarded as mother in the East. This might not be the sense over here in the West, but from the East in the context of the scripture, the community. So some bring out the interpretation here that your present communities, which are the mother of future generations, because the community, you know what we say the saying, it takes a village. You've heard that one before. It takes a village to raise a child. So it's like that village, in a sense, right, is like the mother. Now, others understand it to mean the general community of Yisrael, the general community right, speaking about the general community of Israel is being referred to here as mother. Because what we have here is words used in the context of personal relationship, you know, like mother, father, sister, brother, you know, but it's being applied now to call Yisrael, to the nation of Yisrael, right, to all Israel, to Judah and Israel in particular. So the general community of Israel is compared from the first chapter of Hosea to a wife of harlotry. So now, we was hearing some ones and ones go through a reasoning even earlier yesterday on this, totally separate from what we are doing right here, but maybe in spirit and truth there's some connectivity. But they were talking about Hosea. I thought it was kind of interesting because here we have the very same section of Hosea, but they were getting kind of bogged down in their carnal mind on a level. There is that carnal aspect, like Hosea was told to marry a woman that was either a harlot or loose or a whore or something like that. And in the simple text of it, this was to help the prophet really feel what Jehovah feels because of what his children are, symbolically speaking, his wife, Yisrael, had done to him. This is the context here. So the call, right, is to some of her children to plead with the mother, with mother Yisrael, as a people to turn from her astray way, the community. So here's not just looking at the individuals in the community, but looking at the importance of the community as mother, the community as mother. But then people will say, well, explain this and let her put away her harlotries from her face. What about and her adulteries from between her breastesses, her breasts? Well, what does breast denote? Now, here one has to have a good foundation in the Torah and in the Hebrew, right? Because there's a particular, a unique way, right, our ancestors use the Hebrew. It's almost like many of our ancestors over here in America and the Caribbean, how we would use words in a unique way, even English words. Like when we started to use ain't. Right, everybody talked about ain't a word. Look how these niggas are talking. And then everybody's talking like niggas. Okay, stop it. So there's a particular way that we use words, right? And this spirit, right, is not just manifest here in these latter days and time, but especially as we look at the scriptures, right? So this phrase from between her breasts, right, put away her, right, and let her put away her harlotry. So we're not really just talking about a physical woman in that sense, even though in Hosea's case, well, yeah, that was his wife that Jehovah basically prompted him to marry, right, so that he can really feel, right, what Jehovah feels, and he can bring that, you know, it's like sometimes we can only understand what another person is going through, as it was, when we're going through something similar. So from between putting away her harlotries from her adulteries from between her breasts, here from the Hebrew scriptures, the breasts. Remember, this is a word of prophecy here. So we have allegories, we have Hebrew hieroglyphs, symbolic languages, but there's a science to it. There's a science that's consistent. So in order to understand what it means by her putting her adulteries away from between her breasts, we have to understand what it denotes in the Hebrew context. The breasts, it denotes the sources of what is known as the written Torah, right? The Torah, the written Torah, and the oral Torah, or the Rhema Torah. In other words, the written Torah as it was written, and the application, right, of the spirit of Torah as it is spoken, right? A word fitly. So we have two sources, right, of the written and the oral law or the oral Torah, the two breasts. This supplies the spiritual food. We can go elsewhere in the scripture and we can see where this same point is pointed to and also alluded to, right? The milk. What do you think it means by the milk, right? Where some, although they should be teachers, right, they need to be taught again, right? And it's the what? It's the milk. They need the milk of the word, because solid food or strong meat, they're not ready to eat because a baby needs that mother's milk, you know, to get up that, you know, the protein so that their teeth can come in so they can masticate and chew food. But until that time, they just bathe. So even right there where it speaks about the milk of the word, it's from this same Hebraic context. So putting away her adulteries from between her breasts is pointing to Hebraically the sources of both the written Torah, right, and the oral Torah that supply the spiritual food. It's like the written Torah, for example, is the word that's written. And so if I'm reading this area, I say, Chan, look at this. This word that was written thousands of years ago, look how this word applies to us right now, now, now. That's the application of the Rhema. It's also known as the Rhema word, that word fitly spoken, that right now word. So the meaning here of letting her put away her adulteries from between her breasts, our, quote, mother, right, is to remove the idolatrous customs that Yisrael, the 10 little niggas, northern tribes, had been following, right, and to follow HaTorah, the Torah, the direction, instruction of Elohim Ahad, of the one true Elohim, the one true power. Lest, going on, I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born. So here we're not just talking about a personal woman, even though the prophet Hosea, seeing that he can see clearly now the likeness of what Jehovah is communicating to him and his own personal situation. But he is not speaking of just a personal woman, right? It is speaking of like our alma mater, like our mother, the nation. The nation is the mother of the people. It's a concept that's not so well understood in the West, but hopefully Jah will cause us to comprehend. Lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born and make her as a wilderness. Wow. Make her as a what? Make her as who? Make her as a wilderness. With Samtiha. With and Samtiha. And set her. And almost like appoint her and set her. With Samtiha. Ka Midbar. And set her like a wilderness. Make her like a Midbar. And set her like a dry land. And slay her with thirst. Brings a whole new meaning to what a lot of us lost found say today. So-and-so is thirsty, you too thirsty. But here, our mama is thirsty. Yisrael, Yasharala, right? Mama is thirsty here, according to Hosea. Right? Verse 6 says, and I will not have compassion upon her children. Wait, hold on for a moment. If daddy is telling us to say this to mama, and then he's saying that he will not have compassion upon her children, and then we are told to plead with mama. We're saying, mama, wake up. Because daddy's saying that if you don't wake up, listen, he's not going to have compassion upon her children, your children. We are your children. Why? For they are the children of harlotry. I like to call that harlotry. Like to see a harlotry, right? Harlotry, right? Verse 7. For their mother hath played the harlot. This is not speaking of a personal woman. You see how easy it is for some of the carnal-minded Israelites to apply this to a woman, like apply this to their girlfriend, their wife, or somebody, I don't know. You know what I mean? But you don't even understand the first context. The first context, this is speaking about our mother as Yisrael, right? Our collective corporate mother, that community, that consciousness, you know? You could say that that mother's, well, the mother's tongue, in a sense, right? For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. It's kind of interesting, right? So you know what side your bread is buttered on. But hear the harlot say. Well, the harlot is actually our mother, according to this. See how we have to look at this. Now, of course, many ones say, now, my mama, But you have to get off your carnal mind if you really want to receive the Ivine, right? For their mother hath played the harlot. See, another point is when we bring out the sense that nefesh, the soul, is she, right? We one time called soul people, remember? Called soul people. It's like all of us, as once lost, now found. It, the idea is that we all had one soul. Not so anymore, huh? Because she that conceived them have done shamefully. And she said, what? I will go after my lovers. Right? What have you done for me lately, right? What does love have to do with it, right? She said, go after her lovers, right? Who are her lovers? That give her her bread and her water. No wonder they would engineer this welfare system in the latter days to divide and destroy the black family. Wow. They understood something about the psychology, huh? That give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. Yes, it's opportunistic, but I guess a lot of people could say, that's right, right? That's right. You know, she's not going to go after one that's not doing what? Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns, John says. Remember, John, in this sense, is like our daddy is talking to our mama, right? In other words, the Spirit of God is speaking to our soul. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns. You know, they say that roses have roses have thorns. Let me smell, give me my roses while I can smell them. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns, and I will make a wall against thee, that she shall not find her path. So it's like she's saying, I'm going to go after my lovers who give me my bread and my water. But wait, hold on for a moment. Wasn't John the one who gave Yisrael her bread and her water, her wool and her flax, her oil and her drink? Is she crazy? Well, just what Josh says, he's going to hedge her up. You know, he'll recognize she has a condition. He's going to have to try to quarantine her. And I will make a wall against her that she shall not find her path. And she shall run after her lovers. I don't know if you're putting together the imagery, right? If you can animate the words in your mind's eye. Because if he's going to hedge her up, right, with thorns, if he's going to make a wall against her that she's not going to find her path, then the next verse says she's going to run after her lover. Yeah, she's going to run right into that wall. And didn't this happen? Doesn't this happen to Jah people, our people? But she shall not overtake them. Of course not, because Jah, didn't you say you're going to make a wall against her that she would not be able to find her path? Then she's running into a wall. Right? That's why she can't overtake them, because, you know, when you hit the wall, you hit the wall. You don't go past the wall. It's not like a cartoon. This is reality. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Oh. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband. I was reminded of the parable of Reuben. Well, that was a parable there, according to the transmission of the narrative. You know, the woman, the Samaritan, remember the Samaritan woman? See, the Samaritan woman, the difference between the Samaritans and the Jews, remember what Yeshua said to her? Y'all worship your Samaritans that are living in the territory at Israel up there in the north. Y'all worship that which you know not. We know what we worship for salvation of the Yehudi, to see this distinction, even in the new covenant sense. Remember when he saw the living water and she said, yeah, I want to drink some of this water. She probably thought that Robeno was flirting with her, right? And so Robeno said, call your husband, right? And she said she doesn't, and then he read her, right? Like her right here that says, I will go and return to my first husband. So which husband are you with now, your second, third, fourth? For then was it better with me than now? So Jah literally had to hedge up our people's way. He has to put a wall, right, against us, right, in order for we to run into that wall before we recognize, you know, it was better when we were Israelites. For then was it better with me than now. Opportunistic. For she did not know. What did she know? She thought she'd know. All right. for she did not know that it was I that gave her the corn and the wine and the oil and multiplied to her silver and gold that was used for Baal, that was used for Baal, for Baal. So hold on for a moment. Verse 10 says that she was stark, raving, ignorant. She was stark, raving, and ignorant. But see, we're talking about she. We're not talking about a personal woman. In fact, we're talking about we. We're talking about our people. We're talking about our psyche, right? Our consciousness. For she did not know. She was ignorant that it was I, that it was the Most High that gave her the corn and the wine and the oil. See, because she said that she's going to go after who? He said in verse 7, I'll go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. No wonder Josh says the next verse, what? Therefore, because what she said, therefore, he said, behold, I'm going to hedge up that thy way with thorn, and I'll make a wall against her that she would not find her path. Then in verse 10, it says, for she didn't know. She was ignorant. She didn't know that it was I that gave her the corn and the wine and the oil and multiplied to her silver and gold, which they used for Baal. I was saying this in a vlog, share this here. Baba Dick Gregory, he's like a rabbi to some of us, you know, for his wise, sage-like advice. He said the two strongest forces in America, I don't know if you've heard that before or heard I, or I don't know if you heard him say that. He said two strongest forces in America was, seems like more was, hopefully it become a is again, right, was the black woman and the black church. I'm pointing that out because of what we are reasoning on here in Hosea, the black woman and the black church, right? Verse 11, therefore will I take back my corn in the time thereof. And then they're cutting a lot of these social services and these programs now in Babylon. It's really causing a situation. You know what I mean? And how they broke down our black nuclear family, right? Because they put the carrot on the stick, right? And because some of the women could say, well, the government will give me my bread and my wine and my oil, my flax and all these things. So that's my lover. Uncle Sammy is your daddy. Uncle Sam. He's not even related to us. Anyway, therefore will I take back my corn in the time thereof, my wine in the season thereof, and will snatch away my wool and my flax, given to cover her nakedness. So she that conceived, in the Targum of Yonatan, it renders the Hebrew horatam. The word horatam is their teachers, whom they confounded by ignoring their instruction. Going over the verses here, 7, verse 7, right, where it says, she that conceives them, right? There's a interpretation of this called the Targum of Jonathan that renders the Hebrew horatam as their teachers, whom they confounded by ignoring their instruction. Who was the mother, Israel's lover in Hosea. According to the historical narrative, the lover of the northern 10 tribes of Israel was Assyria and Egypt. Assyria and Egypt, same way it is today right now. Assyria, the metaphysics, the intellectual, you know, all these, what do you call it, peer review, scholastic, what do you call it, academic consensus. They want to get the consensus. You know, what do the real scholars, the white people, say? Assyria, and the Kemetics, Egypt. So who are the lovers of the lost found sheeple? Same ones, ain't nothing new in the sun. The Assyrians and the Egyptians, spiritually, intellectually, with whom Israel had formed an alliance. Thy way with thorns to block their escape from the enemy. Then shall she say, then, when is then in the latter days, after having suffered the pain of exile. You know, they say he who feels it, complete the sentence. He who feels it, Rastaman. You don't know, right? He who feels, Benjamite, come on. You showed me that one. He who feels it, what? Knows it. He who feels it, knows it. Right? So in the latter days, she shall say, our soul, our psyche, right? When we become soul people again, we'll say, right? What she says. Here, this points to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 30. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, let's go to chapter 4 of Deuteronomy, verse 30. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 30, what does it read? When thou art in tribulation, when you be in trouble, let's say it's the black way, when you be in trouble, and all these things come up on the eye, even in the latter days, the last days, if thou turn to Yahuwah Eloheka, to Jehovah thy power, and shall be obedient to his voice. So in verse 9 of Hosea, and she shall run after her lovers, keep running and running and running away, but she shall not overtake them, and she shall seek them, but she shall not find them. Then, see, all that has to happen sometimes. You gotta let people try it, and when they fail their way, then shall she say, I will go and return to my first hubby, my first husband, for then it was better with me than now. This is to mean that in the latter days, after having suffered the pain of exile, the trials and tribulation, as Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 30 so clearly says, when thou be in trouble, when you be in trouble, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if, that's the key, if, can you make your will obedient? If thou turn to Yahuwah Eloheka, Jehovah thy power, thy source, and shall be obedient, Shema, hear, be obedient to his voice, to his vocal. Verse 12, a little more. And now she goes on to talk, right? She's going on, right? She goes on. And now, well, Jah is responding to all of her talk here in verse 12. And now will I uncover her shame in the sight of her lovers. This is the condition of the lost found black people. This is our condition presently in the latter days of this Gentile world system. Our nakedness, we're exposed. Black folks are exposed like, what Jah said here in Hosea. And now will I uncover her shame in the sight of her lovers. You know, one time, they do something that, like in every community, that the community knows. You know, but we don't like, as they say, air out our dirty laundry. But, and now will I uncover her shame in the sight of her lovers. Black people, our shame, our dirty laundry is all over social media. And none shall deliver her out of my hand. No program. You know, you can't get a program to try to fix that, you know, or go to the tax and spend pro-choice godless liberals. They ain't going to help you. They ain't going to get you out of Jahan. Verse 13, I will also cause her mirth to cease. You know, her mirth. In their great distress, they will not even take joy in their feasts, their festivals. Going on here, her Sabbaths, her feasts, her new moons, her Sabbaths. Think about it. Is a Sabbath a joy for you? Just something to meditate on from now to the next Shabbat. Is the feast, are they joys to you? The new moons, are they a joy? You might be there. I will also cause her mirth to cease, her feasts, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and all her appointed seasons. And I will lay waste her vines and fig trees, whereof she hath said, these are my hire. This is deep here. That my lovers have given me. What? That her who? Her lovers? You talking about Assyria and Egypt? Assyria and Egypt didn't give us shite. Assyria and Egypt didn't give us shite. talking about after we over there come out of Mitzrayim and Assyria over, they didn't give us nothing. And I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. Wild beasts all around. And we're not talking about just the wild beasts, the four-legged beasts. We're talking about all the mind and people, the men and people that don't understand, like the word says, right? And a man, although he has honor, a man that understands not is like the beasts that perish. And I will visit up on her the days of Baalim, global. Sounds similar to I. And I will visit up on her the days of Baalim, wherein she offered to them and decked herself with earrings and her jewels and went after her lovers and forgot me, saith Yahuwah, saith Jehovah. How bad our condition has become and had become. Right, John is saying, he even says to Yisrael in this likeness, he says, like, you're a strange hope. He's talking to Israel. He's talking to our mother. He's talking to the soul of the once lost, now found Beta Israel people. He said, what kind of strange whore are you? All the other whores get money, but you actually are given money to get up. You're a strange whore. You're a strange one. But what it says here, and she went after her lovers and forgot me, says Jehovah. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness, this wilderness of North America and the Caribbean, and speak tenderly to her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence. Let's say her provision, her vineyards from there, from the wilderness, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope, a door of expectation. And she shall respond there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up, when who? When she came up the land of Mitzrayim. Yes, Yisrael is Jehovah's son. He says, Israel's my son. But what about she? When our mama, as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be in that day, saith Jehovah, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shall no more, and shall call me no more Baali. Baali. So what do we have here? The wilderness signifies exile, speaking tenderly to her to comfort them in their sufferings while in captivity. And this was like the word of the prophets, right? The word of the prophets to them in captivity was Jah speaking tenderly to them, right? Because they already had ended up in what he tried to warn them that they wouldn't listen. So now that they are there, if they would hear and give heed. Her vineyards is in compensation for her devastation, the devastation of her vines, as we have in the 14th verse. From thence, from there, where is there? From the wilderness. Where, what is the wilderness? The wilderness is exile. We're here in the wilderness of North America. We are here in exile in North America. This is referred to in the preceding verse here. The purification that they will undergo in captivity will result in the restoration of their land. The purification that Jah people, that the Beta Israel, even over here in the West, right, even over here in this wilderness of this North country of the Americas and the Caribbean, the purification we are undergoing in this captivity, what is the result of this? It's going to be a restoration of our land. You know, we have some lands that are the real Israelite lands. We'll get into that another time. But they are dry as desert as Uk. And they will remain dry as desert as Uk until we're ready to get up out of here. All right? The Valley of Achor is a point that hopefully we can go into. What does this term mean, the Valley of Achor? The Valley of Trouble. Achor is often brought out in interpretation as the Valley of Trouble. Some identify it with the Valley of Jezreel. And Hosea chapter 1, verse 5, where they suffered a great defeat. According to others, it refers to the Valley of Achor. That was the scene of Achan's sin. Achan, Achan, Achan's sin. a condescending Joshua chapter 7, verse 26. Joshua chapter 7, verse 26, we read about the valley of Achor. That was the scene of Achan's sin. Yisrael, Israel here in the restoration, is assured that such a sin of ugly or fookery will not recur. There will be no recurrence when they, when I and we, aliyah up and return to the land. She shall respond. She shall respond. Now, here in this verse here, verse 17, where it says that she shall respond. All right, let's bring this out right here, verse 17. And she shall respond there. Now, in the Hebrew, there's a little interesting context that we need to note. When it says, and she shall respond, response in the Hebrew sense, right, when it says, is it Anna? We're looking through the text right here just to find this. Okay, we're Antaha, Samah. Right, and she shall respond, Shama, we anta, from Anna. Now, Anna in the Hebrew can mean to answer, respond. Anna can also mean to dwell in the context, or can mean to sing, right, to sing. So her response there, mo better, bringing out her response, like her answer would be song and singing. And that brings us to the 18th verse here. And it shall be in that day, the time of redemption, in that day that saith Jehovah, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and no more call me Baali. Ishi, as we mentioned, Ishi signifies the state of affection and attachment that exists between the Ish and Isha, between the husband and wife. Ishi. When Adam turned around and said to Hawa, before you called her Hawa or Eva, ever, he said that she shall be called Isha because she came out of Ish. And here in the prophet Hosea, right, chapter 2, verse 18, he says that no more shall he be called Baali. What is Baali? Baali, on the other hand, Baali can be husband, Baali can be master, Baali can be owner. It denotes lordship. It denotes authority, Baali. Now, though when people see this from the Western Gentile, they always think of the idols of other nations. But this is a term that we find in Hebrew, even used of Yahweh, right, where he speaks of that he is the husband, he is the owner. Right, but here in this verse, he says, "Thou shalt call me Ishi," signifying that there will be a state of affection and attachment between Yahuwah, the Ish, you say the man, right, the husband, he is the man, Ha'ish, right, and Yisrael, I and I, the corporate body of Yisrael, affection and attachment as that which exists between a Ish and Isha, a husband and wife. While on the other hand, the former, we could say, relationship, the Baali, right? Baali is like saying my master, Baali, or even in a sense, my husband, my owner, my master. This denotes lordship. This denotes authority, right? On the day of their final deliverance, Yisrael, Israel, will worship Ha'el, Yahweh Eloheinu, from love and not from fear or dread or terror, but will worship, will value Yahweh Eloheinu from love, even Jah love, even true love. Yes, I. So therefore, Israel won't have to roam and search around and stray away from home no more. A couple more verses here since we went through this far right here. Verse 19, for I will take away the names of Baalim out of her mouth, and they shall no more be mentioned by their name. And in that day will I make a covenant for them. Note that? For them. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beast of the field and the fowls of the heaven and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the back of the battle out of the land and will make them to lay down safely. And I will betroth thee to me forever. I will engage, he will engage us to marry he forever, betroth. And I will betroth thee to me to time indefinite forever. Yea, I will betroth thee to me in righteousness and in justice. So the betrothal, as we have in the Chazon Yohanan, in the Revelation of John, in Revelation, we have New Jerusalem getting prepared. It says, as a bride, right, that betrothal, but there's conditions to this marriage, even the marriage of the Lamb. We have it right here in Hosea, chapter 2, verse 21. And I'll betroth thee to me forever, or to time indefinite, the meaning of forever. Yea, I will betroth thee to me in righteousness, one condition, and in justice. In righteousness and justice. So here, what do we have right here? Bezedek, justice, righteousness, or bemishpat. Mishpat is judgment. A more better translation would be, yea, I will betroth thee to me in righteousness and in judgment. And it goes on, in loving kindness, or bechesed, which is one of the attributes of Yahweh that he revealed to Moshe. He who be, who he be, who he be the merciful, bechesed, and in compassion, or berachamim, another one of the 13 attributes of Yahweh, of Jehovah. Verse 22, and I will betroth thee to me in faithfulness, be'emunah, in faithfulness, in the true faith, right, in credit, right, credibility, faithfulness, admittance, and thou shalt know, what, and thou shalt know Yahuwah, we ya da'at et Yahuwah, by their name. Going over this right here, by their name, from verse 19 here to verse 22, Hosea chapter 2, by their name. Alternatively, idolatry, what this brings out is that idolatry will no longer be associated with the name of Yisrael. Sadly, unfortunately, or whatever you want to say, the reality, even from Torah, it shows that even though we was called to high calling, idolatry became associated with the name of Yisrael. But in this verse in Hosea chapter 2, verse 19, when it says, by their name, and I will take away the names, right, of Baalim out of her mouth, and they shall no more be mentioned by their name. The mentioning, in this sense, when we look at it in context, is like associated with religious, spiritual, or some other type of religious worship. So idolatry will no longer be associated with the name of Yisrael, as it has been, with the beast of the field. Now, in contrast to the curse, right, verse 14 of chapter 2, it says, and the beast of the field shall eat them. So here in verse 20, we have now the opposite, the reverse, with the beast of the field. Some see the parallel here to Isaiah, Yeshaya, chapter 11, verses 6 to 9. Isaiah chapter 11, let's go to chapter 11, Isaiah 11, verses 6 to 9. So here, Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 to 9. What do we have here? Here, chapter 11. This is the quality of the kingdom. The quality of the kingdom. Remember, the gospel is the gospel of the kingdom. Here in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6 right here. This is an important chapter here. This is speaking about the Davidic kingdom being set up, speaking of the king's ancestry, speaking of the source of HaMelech, even the Negus and Neges power. What is the source of the king's power? The sevenfold spirit. Here, the fourth item here in this chapter is the quality of the kingdom. Here it reads, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the ass. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. Verse 9 right here, this is a separate verse. And this verse here, according to the Scofield Study Bible, the fifth part of this chapter right here, the extent of the kingdom, the extent of the kingdom. Verse 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy, my set-apart mountain. From Mount Sinai to Mount Zion, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy, my set-apart mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge, the da'at, the knowledge of Yahuwah, of Jehovah, as the waters cover the sea. There's the original there. Martin Luther King Jr. tried to do a little remix of that, but that's the original there. So some see in this verse here in Hosea chapter 2 at verse 20, a parallel to Isaiah chapter 11 verses 6 to 9, wherein the universal, non-partial peace, shalom, of the messianic age, the Adis Zemin, with the wild and the tame beasts, not even to mention men and people, but the wild and the tame beasts are described, according to the scribe, as living peacefully together with the fowls of heaven, that they do not devour the crops. The bow and the sword, this is a parallel to what we have in Yeshaya, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. So the prophets being sent right by Adonai with that spirit, communicating right the same message, but directing it to their listeners, right, and to the time. But here, the bow and the sword, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares. Yeshaya chapter 2, verse 4. Now, of course, you probably heard those things. I think it's written outside the UN up there in Manhattan, loving Satan, Manhattan. You know, up there in Manhattan, they have that up there, you know, on the side of this wall and everything. I mean, I saw it over 20-something. I was like, wow, that's from the Bible, the UN. I said, what does that have to do? It's a little presumptuous, but the word is still true, right? And I will betrothy, a true betrothal. In contrast to her former status, as we have in Hosea chapter 1, verse 2, as the wife of harlotry, the thrice repeated expression, three times repeated, right, that number three, right, Hashalush HaKadosh, the true trinity, the Hebrew trinity, the thrice repeated expression, and I will be thrifty. He says that three times, and I will be thrifty. And I will betroth thee. I will engage thee to be married. This corresponds to the three exiles. The three exiles under the three kingdoms. Which three exiles? Which three kingdoms? The three exiles. First exile under Mitzrayim, Egypt. Second exile, Babylon. The third, this present one, forever. The third betrothal. It's at that third betrothal, the redemption from the third exile will be the final and the eternal. In righteousness and in justice, so Yisrael must plight her troth to Elohim. don't know if you understand that. Those are farmers. The trough is like where you put the food for the animals, like on the farm. So Yisrael must plight her trough, right, to Elohim. In order to be fed, in other words, she's going to have to bring her plate over. And in loving kindness and in compassion, so Ha'el Ha'ilahim will plight. He will now plight his troth to Yisrael in loving kindness and in compassion. Last verse right here, verse 22. Interesting. Hosea chapter 2, 22 verses. In faithfulness, and I will betroth thee to me with a rastik li. With rastik li, and I will betroth thee li for me. In faithfulness. As a reward for Yisrael's faith, credit, admittance in the yea and the amen, in the promises, the hope, the expectation, the tikwa given by the prophets, the Nabiim, in exile. So this will be a reward for and to Yisrael, Israel, for Israel's faith, Israel's credit, Israel's admittance, its faithfulness in the yea, yea, the amen, amen, in the promises given by and through the prophets and the being while we were falashes, even in exile, even in this north country, even in America and throughout the Caribbean. By faithfully adhering in the future to the worship of Elohim Ahad, the one true Elohim, Ahadu Amlak, all eternity. It's the last part of the verse right here. We yada'at, speaking to her, we yada'at, he's still speaking to she, we yada'at et Yahuwah. And you, speaking to she, speaking to our psyche, speaking to our nefesh, speaking to our soul, as soul people, as called Yisrael, he says, we yada'at et Yahuwah, and you shall know he who be who he be. In contrast to the former state, what was the former state? Former state of the real estate, her psychic state, her soul state, in verse 10. In verse 10, it says, she did not know. She did not know, don't know anymore, more. She did not know who was providing for her, right? Who was providing food for her. She did not know, but now she will know. And this last area right here in Hosea chapter 2 is speaking to she. Sometimes that doesn't come out in the translation, but it adds a very important layer and depth, right, to the revelation. In some areas, Jehovah is speaking to all, like you all. In some areas, he's speaking to ones as an individual male. In some areas, like here, he's speaking to us all in the sense as a woman. He's speaking to our soul, psychically speaking, because the soul is she. We yada'at et Yahuwah. In contrast to a former state in which she did not know, now she will know. Yes, I, Rastafari. Hear, hear, hear. Who knows, who knows, who knows? Be still, be still, be still, and know.
Be still and know that I am God. I am God.
I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God.
I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I am God. I
You give you more, receive you less. I guess some things never change. Cause here I am alone again. Oh, I find that rather strange. I think of things we used to do, but I guess that's only me. And all the stages we've been through, but it wasn't meant to be. Grandma said that I could have my dreams, at least if nothing else. And Mama never raised no fool, can feel things for myself. What used to be unbreakable, I thought this bond would never break. But nothing's permanent in life, all except for change. But now I know, now I know, now I know. But now I know, now I know, now I know. But now I know, now I know, now I know. Now I know, now I know, now I know. Grandma said that I could have my dreams, at least if nothing else. What used to be unbreakable, thought this bond would never break. But nothing's permanent in life, all except for change. But now I know, now I know, now I know.
I am God, I am God, I am God. Be still and know that I am God, I am God, I am God. Be still and know that I am God, I am God, I am God, I am God. Be still and know that I am God.
Be still and know that His Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie I of Ethiopia, is the Almighty.
I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth, 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 exalted in the earth.
God bless you. We find your peace are unmovable. God bless you. We find your peace are unmovable. God bless you. We find your peace are unmovable. Psalm 119, the 12th verse right here.
It says, Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Baruch atah Yahuwah, lamdeini chukeka, chukeka, thy statutes. Blessed art thou, the key phrase, Baruch Ata Yahuwah, we say the Hashem. Other Yehudis would replace the Hashem, the Yod Hey Weh Hey, Yahuwah, Yahawah, Yahweh, they replace it by Adonai. So you might often hear Yehudi say, Baruch Ata Adonai. We taught them that. Baruch Ata Yahuwah. Blessed art thou, O Jehovah. Blessed art thou. In relation of man to Ha Elohim, to the power, Ha Elohim, to bless. What does to bless mean in relation of man to Ha Elohim? It means to prosper his cause. By our I concentration, focus of heart, heartical, focus of heart, soul, and might to the advancement of his kingdom, Malkuto, in the royal Amharic to Mengistu, Mengistu, to his kingdom, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, right, as it is in heaven. Baruch Ata Yahuwah, blessed art thou. So once again, we know that blessing in the sense of Elohim to man is to cause us to increase. But how is it that we can bless he who be who he be? How can we increase? You know, we can't increase him. He is the Almighty. So the reason here, and this is coming from today's Psalm 119, the Torah, Yahweh of life, Baruch Ata Adonai, blessed art thou, Baruch Ata, 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 the I, speaking directly to him, speaking to him male, Ata, Baruch Ata, blessed art the I, he who be who he be. In relation of man, of I, not a human being, to the power to bless, means to prosper his cause by I and I focus, our concentration of heart, heartically, soul, psychically, might, to the advancement of Malkuto, Mengistu, and the advancement of his kingdom, even the fulfillment of our Father prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Yes, I rise the far 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 I rise the far.
Shavua Tov, good strong seven brothers and sisters. Yes, I, Bashem Yeshua HaMoshiach, be well. Shalom.